This week on the Donut Box Podcast, it's our Christmas episode. We're feeling festive, and we're going through one of our favorite stories first, and that is Christmas at the Trailer Park. We attended a wedding on Christmas Day. Pretty wild stuff. What else we got, Christopher?
Also, find out how people down under throw a few shrimp on the barbie as they celebrate Christmas at the beach. And also, does Micah know how long it took Charles Dickens to write A Christmas Carol? Find out on the donut hole.
Charles Dickens? I don't even know who Charles Dickens is. No, I'm joking. I do know who Charles Dickens is. We'll find out the donut hole, but we'll also find out what fries my donuts, what really fires me up about the holiday season. There's some things that really get my goat, but, you know, we'll also talk about why I am no longer a big Grinch, and maybe I'm on my path to enlightenment. I don't know.
And two pastors celebrate Christmas Eve services in a fun and interesting way. All that and more on this Christmas episode of the Donut Box Podcast. Let's roll the intro.
Hi, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And we've been friends for over 20 years.
Surprisingly, we haven't killed each other yet. Years ago, we started our own variety show, and it sucked.
Now that we're adults, we decided to give it another try. And you know what it says, like in the movie, life is like a box of donuts. You never know which one's gonna be the next one.
Wait a second, it's chocolates. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's start the show.
This is the Donut Box Podcast.
All right, man. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's been great. I can't believe this year is wrapping up, dude. It's been a really fast year. I know everybody says it, but every year you're on this rock, this planet Earth, it just seems to go faster and faster. And so we're coming to a close in 2024, and we have started season 4 of the Donut Box Podcast. Here we are. We are on episode 5. It is great. I am just thrilled that we're over in 5, and you know, you can still see our faces on episode 5. But Chris, how you doing, man? You looking really festive. Is that a John Cena Christmas sweater?
Yes, it is. It is my John Cena Christmas sweater. I have a wrestling shirt for every occasion, my friend, and I like to pull this bad boy out of the closet around this time. It's great. I love this sweater.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I mean, it's good. You know, a lot of people call things like ugly Christmas sweaters. I don't know what constitutes. Would you constitute that as an ugly Christmas sweater?
Yeah, no, that's kind of the thing. I know that there are like ugly Christmas sweaters, but now it's just Christmas sweater, whatever. So anytime you say ugly Christmas sweater, people just wear normal Christmas sweater.
Yeah,
it should be fun Christmas sweater day or whatever.
Yeah. You know? No, and that was something that I was wondering. I kind of had an office Christmas party, and of course, office Christmas parties, they always do that, and the contest was the ugly Christmas sweater thing, but I noticed that none of them were really ugly. Like, it wasn't that it was crazy colors. It was all pretty normal stuff, I felt like. So, yeah, I feel you. But anyways, off that rabbit trail, welcome to the Donut Box Podcast, and we have a great episode for you for this festive holiday Christmas. And I am really, really excited for our first segment, which is the old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. And this story is near and dear to my heart. Oh,
you love Christmas story.
It's just because it's uniquely an environment that I grew up somewhat in. So
let's get ready. Let's set the scene. Let's get in the Christmas spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get your eggnog or whatever Christmas beverage, your Christmas cookies, and get ready for a Christmas story for the ages, a tale as old as time.
Gather the children around. No, I'm joking. Do not. Not for this story. No, it's not one of those kind of Christmas stories. So my grandfather... I need to go one step before this. So Christopher and I, we moved to Texas, and pretty much the entire reason, was because my grandmother, she was, when we made the decision to move to Texas, was passing away slowly, or however you would like to put that. I'm trying to put that delicately. And, so it was okay. We need to be out there to kind of help with things and that sort of thing. She ended up passing away before we moved out there, but then we still said, okay, we're going to take care of my grandfather out there. However, my grandfather wasn't wasting no time in the lady department.
We moved in June. ladies and gentlemen, June. So, time frame for you.
June. And so we move in June, and my grandmother had been barely passed away at that point. And so we move, get everything in there, and my grandfather starts dating a few people, but one of the people he starts dating is this lady who was the housekeeper at the place that he worked at. Like, he was a contractor, and she was the housekeeper. And so they end up, you know, getting a relationship, and they got married quite quickly. And
hold on, before you do that, okay, let me pause,
set more of the stage,
and let me set up some more of the background, okay? So while we were there, he was living with us, okay? And this man is a very, at the time, very conservative, very Christian, all that, and we're two young teenage boys, so he's giving us lectures like, you don't ever need to be alone with a girl. Like, of course, spending the night with a girl is like,
oh, that's
big
off limits,
no, no, yeah. Right? Even if you come home past midnight, right? Big no, no. And so I remember one particular time, Micah's parental units, shall we call them, they were like, oh yeah, they were packing a bag for his grandfather, and I was like, are you going somewhere? Are you going out of town? Like, you're going to see some of your other kids? He was like, oh no, I'm going to stay the weekend at my girlfriend's house. And I remember us being like, ooh, that's ooh, okay, so you want to preach to us about not staying? And when we talked about it, they were like, well, they're older, it's okay, like, they're not going to do anything, they're not going to do anything.
It's like, okay, whatever. Just like, yeah, whatever, sure. We're packing a weekend bag, and we're going over there, and they're just going to stay, you know, they're just going to watch TV while they sit in there, you know, and
Netflix, come and on, chill.
Netflix and chill. And so, yeah, no, good setup there, but so shortly thereafter, was there a ring? I don't remember, like, an engagement ring. I don't ever remember that happening. It was just like
we're gonna get married. Yeah,
we're gonna get married. It's like, oh, okay. And so at the time, we were going to this church, and my grandfather was a deacon at this church and pretty high up in the thing. And so he had talked to one of the pastors and was like, hey, we want to get married on Christmas Day, the 25th.
Why did they pick Christmas Day? Do you remember?
I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know. I don't think that was ever explained. And so they said, okay, we're going to have it at this lady's house, the lady that he was marrying's house. Because it wasn't ever prefaced to me. I had never been over there before. Had you before to, like, this lady's place?
No, we had never been there. So do you want to tell them about the morning of the wedding? Are you getting to that point?
You can go ahead. I'm gonna let you.
No, I think you should, because I mean, it has more to do with your grandmother, and it was a little bit more sensitive to you.
Oh, okay. So first and foremost, the biggest thing that happened, my maternal unit, is that how you would say that? Yes, I think so. I remember we got into a kerfluffle that morning. That's what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, we got into a nice kerfluffle because basically my maternal unit told me that the lady that my grandfather was marrying was better than my grandmother. Like, the grandmother that I knew, grew up with, and also had a pretty special relationship with, who had just passed away less than, at that point, it was about 6 months before.
And Micah was really, I think, I don't know, you were pretty close to all your grandparents, but, like, I would say out of all your grandparents, that was probably the one you were the closest to, or had the most special relationship with, I would say. Like, you had a lot of love for your Nana. So
yeah, for sure. And so when she said that, it was like, ooh, that ain't cool. So I remember it was already like a bad deal. And man, I'll be honest, I kind of blocked a lot of that out. I don't remember. Like, okay. I don't remember, like, what happened after that. I remember. Like,
do you remember? So what happened? I remember what led up to it. So what happened was, There, over the fireplace, there used to be this big
Oh,
picture.
I don't know why I didn't remember that at
There
that
used
moment.
to be this big picture of Micah's grandmother and grandfather. And so the crazy part was, is they just kind of, it was almost like his grandmother didn't exist. And it was like she had barely been put in the ground and everyone just forgot about her. So on the day of the wedding, Micah's maternal unit removed the picture from the fireplace, right above the fireplace. And when that happened, something weird happened. Like the clock started, and again, some clocks they start chiming on the hour, but this was like at seven, probably 7:42.
Well, and I'll say this, sorry to interrupt you. That clock, we had traveled. I think got that clock in Germany or something. It was like one of those mantle clocks, and the thing didn't run. So like it never chimed. Like the thing never went off. And so like the only way that you could get it to chime is if you like lifted it up and shook it around and made all the parts like clang. And so what was creepy about it was when they removed that picture, that clock started going off, right? Like Chris saw it. I wasn't there, but you were there when like that clock started going off.
I did, and it went off, and I was like, "That's weird." And everyone was like, "Okay." And then Michael was like, "Yep, that's Nana saying she don't approve of this." And then his maternal unit was like, "No, that's Nana saying she does approve of it. That's her saying she does approve of it." And it's like, okay, how quickly the story changed after they got divorced. Spoiler alert: they got divorced.
Yeah, they got divorced. So, and so, like, yeah, I don't know why I didn't. For some reason, my mind said that wasn't the same day, but that was the
That
morning
was the
of.
same day.
That was the same day. And so, anyways, because it was kind of early in the morning, wasn't it? It was
It
like
was
10,
like probably
11 o'clock in the morning,
9 or
or yeah.
10, and I remember, or probably, yeah, and I remember we were going to pick my mom up at the airport around 11 or noon. It was around lunchtime, and me and you, your maternal unit, your paternal unit, and the girl I was dating at the time, we all went together, okay? I remember that. We all went together. And I remember, like, they said it was gonna be at a trailer park. Now, granted, this trailer park was
This
nice. It
is a
was a
nice
gated
trailer
trailer
park.
park. This
Yes.
trailer park is nice,
It's
okay?
the nicest one in town for sure,
This is the
by
nicest one
far.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. And it was for a trailer park, very, very nice. And the trailer she had was fairly nice as well. But I remember pulling up, and then shortly thereafter, my wonderful aunt pulled up with her biker boyfriend. I remember they pulled up on a Harley, and it was like, oh, hello, how are you? And then, had an aunt and an uncle show up. And then trying to think, there was one other uncle that showed up, I think, too. And anyways, what ended up happening is we all went in there, and they kind of had like the couch sectionals and everything like that. And so we all sat on the couch. But I just remember the main thing was they had this TV, and on the TV they had the fireplace going, like the little, at the time it was a DVD of the fireplace. And there's just like, yep, we got this DVD of this fireplace. Doesn't it seem so real? Because this TV was kind of in a place where it would look like a fireplace would be kind of like, but instead it's, and so they were even like, yep, it almost feels warm. It's like, oh gosh. And what happened next, Chris?
So I feel bad for this pastor because this pastor agreed to like come out there on Christmas, and it wasn't like a 2 o'clock wedding, 3 o'clock wedding. This was Christmas morning when he would be opening presents with his kid.
With
Like
his
it was,
kids and
I want to say 8 or 9 o'clock. Like it was
it
still
was
pretty
fairly
early.
early. My grandfather is an early, he prefers things rather early. 9 o'clock is noon for him,
So
so.
we're all like dressed up in this lady's living room. Like, granted, I think we met her like three times, maybe. I remember two for sure of meeting her. And then so then we're sitting in the living room and we're just kind of like, okay. And I remember, maybe I'm making this up in my head. Maybe I'm having the Mandela effect, but I felt like something was delayed. And we were waiting for a while, or maybe I'm making that up.
Maybe so. Maybe I just blocked some of that out. But all I rem I remember sitting there in that living room and just it was awkward. I just
Oh
remember it
yeah, it
being
was
like
really awkward.
really awkward.
Did
Like
any of
nobody
her
was
family
really
show up?
saying much.
None of.
No, I don't think. Well, she did have a daughter and like a granddaughter, but I don't think they showed up. Like I
Nah.
don't remember them being there. And like it was awkward because I think my parental units were the only one that were in somewhat support of it. And like the rest of the kids were just like staunchly, I mean, naturally,
And
like
then we
they
got
just.
random biker dude who we don't know from Adam, and they're just like,
No, and he was
"Ooh."
sketchy. It wasn't like it was just like regular biker guy. Like it was like, okay. And homie kind of smelled too. I remember I had to kind of sit towards him on the couch, like kind of by him. It was a whole thing.
So I
Like,
remember, like, we're t me and Mike are talking. I don't know. We're passing the time. Like, that's the thing. Like, anytime me and Micah got away for something, we just pass the time. We talk about something. So a pastor finally shows up. They do this wedding, and the wedding was probably maybe 15 minutes. Maybe I don't think it.
maybe I
Maybe it
think
was
maybe like
ten.
five it was like 5, 10 minutes. Like it was pretty short because I mean they didn't really say anything. I don't even think they did. They have vows? Like I
Yeah,
don't even remember them
they
have
had. I remember they did
vows. Did
vows
they?
and rings, and like
okay
that was it.
okay
There was no pictures, nothing.
No, there was no pictures. There was no pictures. And then the thing that I remember was it was kind of like, all right, thanks for coming. And like it was like immediately I remember it was like the wedding was over. We stood up, we kind of talked for a minute, and then it was like everybody kind of like ushered out to the car.
Yeah, it wasn't like we're gonna go eat a meal, like nothing that you
And
would typically do.
here's what I assumed, and I'm trying to stay as family friendly. I assumed that it was like we married now, get out,
We're
because like you
trying
don't.
to enjoy marital bliss.
Yes, and it's like that's what I assumed. But then I remember, so there was in if you've ever been to a trailer park, a lot of times it's in a circular deal, right? Like it's one way, you kind of have to go down a lane, then up a lane. That's how this was. And so to get out of there, you see everybody that's behind you or in front of you because there's only really one way in, one way out. So we're leaving in kind of a convoy, and all the rest of like my father's siblings are back behind there. And all I remember is I remember like there was kind of a road cut off that like could get you to kind of make another loop within the to like kind of get back to the trailer. And I remember like they all kind of like cut off and like went back there. And I remember like my parental units being like, "We're gonna go back. We're gonna go back." And then for some reason we didn't. Like I don't remember. Do you remember that? I remember it was like, "We're gonna go back because they're gonna start trouble." But then we never went back. So I was like, I don't know what
I
that
don't
whole thing
remember
was
that.
about. It was just like, okay. But so then the saga continued. So it was like, if that experience wasn't glorious enough, we pick up Chris's mom from the airport. Merry Christmas, right?
Now, granted, I haven't seen my mom in like 6 months, moved halfway across the country, and there was part of me that's a little homesick, but I was glad to see my mom. So
Chris didn't just move out. He moved halfway across the country. Like it wasn't
yeah.
just, and that was like, his mom's first move out. Like that was her first son to really move out. And so halfway across the country it was a big thing. So when she came to visit, I just remember it was like, oh yeah, it's cool. We're gonna go out to eat, but it's Christmas. So where are you gonna go to eat? And where did we go, Chris?
We went to the Chinese buffet. Now, Micah's family did not celebrate Christmas at all, so like there was not going to be any kind of Christmas meal. I remember us just sitting like around watching TV and be like, man, I'm hungry. And it's like, well, these are the places we got. We can go to Buffalo Wild Wings, we can go to IHOP, or we can go to the Chinese buffet. And so we went to the Chinese buffet, and I remember like I just remember like it was weird because like my mom was meeting my girlfriend at the time, and like thankfully we didn't fight on that day. That was one of the rare days that we did not fight, me and my girlfriend at the time, and so it was a good day. And I remember like going to the Chinese buffet, and it smelled like sewer. Like I just remember
Bro,
like
and what's wild is we still ate. Like
yeah.
maybe I'm more mature now and like just like nah, I can't do this. But like for some reason we still just was like, nah, we'll just power through it, and everybody just still ate. even though it's
I don't know, but it was literally like a Christmas vacation, or not Christmas vacation, Christmas story, where at the end they're eating at the Chinese restaurant, and like it was us and a few people, but like I just remember being like, okay, we're eating Chinese food on Christmas. And then I remember like catching up with my mom, and that's when she discovered that we did not share the fudge that she sent us in the care package, because my mom, like a couple weeks before, she sent us like, as Mike has said in previous episodes, she would always send us care packages, and so she sent us fudge.
I don't mean to interrupt. I be watching some of these prison documentaries, especially lately. This sounds so much like prison. It's like, yeah, man, I got my care package from my girl, like, or from my mom, and it's full of snacks, right? Like stuff you can't get at commissary or you couldn't get from the pantry.
And my mom said it like in this USPS box, like, and I just remember being like, and that at the time, that's when Micah's grandfather lived with us, and I knew that they were all going to eat up the fudge, and I was just like, man, this fudge is really good. And so me and Micah, like, are in our room, like, hiding contraband, like, snacks, like, under our mattresses, like, underneath, and, like, we had it in that box, and I remember I'd just be like, Micah, my mom sent me this fudge, I said, but I'm not sharing with anybody but you, like, we'll keep it in here, like, we're going to... And I think we hid it somewhere so Micah's maternal unit wouldn't find it. But I remember my mom getting back, and she was like, she was asking his parents, like, hey, did you enjoy the fudge I sent you? And they were like, we didn't get any fudge. And she was like, Christopher, did you not get the fudge? And I was like, yeah, we got the fudge, but I didn't share it with nobody but Micah. And Micah was like, it was good, Miss Debbie.
Classic. Yeah, that was the kind of stuff, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, like, it's weird. What is the, I think it's the Tale of Two Cities. It was like the time, and I know I'm rabbit trailing here, but when we first moved to Lubbock, for whatever reason, like, my parental units did not, Chris and I had to share a room, even though there was a guest room that was wide open that nobody was using. So we had to share this room, and it's interesting because it was like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. If you've ever had to share a room with a dude, even your friend, like, love the guy, but it's just like, I like to have a room worth of space. Like, it's good to have space. It was like, and I'm sure it'd be different now as an adult, but it was like, man, the smells that came out of there was rather,
or it'd be like, and at the time Michael was more of a night owl, so like it'd be like, oh, I want to go to sleep, but he's wants to be up playing video games, and I'm like, okay, that's cool, like, I'll play video games, but like, I'm trying to go to sleep. Or you do, like, when you're in that close quarters, you just, when like you're like, okay, this is my half of the room, this is your half of the room. Like, we weren't that bad, but I literally equate it to like stepbrothers when they're sharing the room together and they're just getting on each other's nerves. And you're like, bro, like, you can't put two teenage boys sharing half, because the room wasn't even that big, but like,
no, it wasn't that big.
You can't have them share the room and then like them not fight. Like,
what I think is funny too, it'd be like Chris would be, because it'd be getting into fights, you'd just be irritated about, I could see why, and I know this is another rabbit trail, but I could see why people in prison in such close quarters, especially if you're doing like a 23-1 with another person, like, why you get into fights, because it'll be over some like small stuff. I remember he'd be like, are you playing Fight Simulator again? It's like, yeah, you got a problem with that? And then before you know it, it's like, we're in a scuffle about
it. Or like you'd be playing your music and I'd be like, stop. And then you just play it louder. And then you're like, what are you going to do about it? And then that's when, like, I'd be putting him in headlocks and like everything, like, dog.
Bro, he'd be using his police training and crap. It's just like, oh man, it was a whole thing. So it's like it was,
okay, stop.
he'd be doing that like chicken wing maneuver. It's like, nah, dude. It's funny because I equate that time. It was like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was like I have a lot of good memories with that. It's like, but I also have a lot of like that really sucked too.
Those were also the time where like we would sneak out of the window to go get Burger King at like 11 at night, and we like open the, because again, like, it's not that we could have walked out the front door, but like the alarm, not the alarm, but like there would always be a ding whenever the door opened, And it'd be like, door open, you know, those things. And so like anytime that they'd be like, why are you going out? Like you'd be getting interrogated when you came back in or
It'd be the Spanish Inquisition. Like they'd be asking you 1,000 questions. They'd be like, where'd you go? Who were you with? It's like, it was me and Chris. We went to Burger King. Look, the bag is right here. And then it'd be like, why are you going to Burger King for? How much did that cost? Why are you spending money? You just got your first job. You shouldn't be spending money. And it's just like, bro, relax. And it's just like, you really should be saving. College is coming. College ain't cheap. You think I'm going to be paying all that stuff for college? And it's just like, dude, relax. And it's just like, then your 5 for 5 deal at Burger King is no longer a very good deal. Now, is it because you had to go through all this crap to get it?
Yep.
Like,
So we'd be going
it's
out the
just hassle.
window and then we'd be putting the screen back on, taking the boy, it was fun times. Good times, man. Good times. I'm glad that we could take that little trip down memory lane. But let's keep the ball rolling with this Christmas episode. And so the next donut, normally we do the jelly donut, which is a jail report, but we're gonna do the fruitcake donut, and this is about Christmas traditions around the world. Are you ready for this, Micah?
First of all, I hate fruitcake, and I hate that
I
this
don't think
segment
anybody
we
likes
call.
it.
I don't like that this segment is called that, but we gonna go with it.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's Christmas. It's festive. Let me not be a Grinch. It's festive. It's festive. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so as I alluded to in the intro, in Australia, it says there's no such thing as a quote unquote white Christmas because it's warm, right?
It's a summer. Yeah.
So since it's in the southern hemisphere, usually it's like summertime. So a lot of times people go to the beach, they do backyard barbecues, walks in the park, and they go swimming on Christmas Day, which we don't go swimming on Christmas Day in Texas, but we do barbecue on Christmas.
Yeah, we do barbecue. Now, I will say this, it is hot there. Where I've lived, or I live down here, I've had a few hot Christmases where it's been up in the 90s too. So like I could see there being some activity. If there was a beach here, I could see people being on the beach
I was
sometime at
like,
Christmas.
traditionally here in Texas, Christmas Day has always been warm. That's kind of tradition, but.
Yeah. It's interesting. Not a lot of white Christmas here either, but go ahead.
Okay, in Czechoslovakia, I hope I'm saying that right.
Hey, you said it right. Yeah.
Yeah, so in Czech, I'm just gonna so while turkey or ham may be the centerpiece of Christmas meals everywhere else, it's fish. So fish is kind of a big deal in Czech. So those that don't wish to eat fish, they can partake in the Christmas tradition by buying a fish, keeping it in the bathtub for a few days before letting it go. Also, another carp-related practice is to put one or two scales in your wallet to ensure that there will always be money in it throughout the year. So it's like a superstition or a tradition kind of. So how do you feel about fish on Christmas?
I wonder the smell of the scale that you put in your wallet, one. But two, it actually you unlocked a core memory for me that I haven't remembered in forever. And I hate to go down memory lane again, but it's Christmas time. When I was a child, I lived in Germany, and lucky enough, my grandmother was German, so we had family in Germany, and my male parental unit was in the military, and so he would be deployed quite a bit. And so the first Christmas we were in Germany, he was not there. What we ended up doing is we went to my grandmother's brother's house, who was in the north of the country, and he was, I think she might have been Czech. No, I think she was Danish or something else. She was not German, but the gal that he was dating was from somewhere else. And she did make fish for Christmas. I remember she made fish, but it was the not lutefisk, but it was like in the gelatinous. It was like in
That is
jello.
lutefisk.
Is that lutefisk? And I just remember as a kid, I was just like, "Could you make me mac and cheese?" And
Oh yeah.
she was just like, "What is mac and cheese?" And they like explained to her like it's just pasta with cheese. And I remember she was like, "Sure, I'll make you mac and cheese." But I do remember that. And I remember taking one look at that and being like, I don't think so, dude. I don't not I don't I like my fish hot. I don't like it cold. And then in Jell-O, you nah.
Yep. So also another tradition in Czech is, so if you're unmarried, right, women will throw a shoe on Christmas Day And if the tip points towards a certain door, or if a tip points towards the door, she's destined to be married within a year. So that's kind of a like superstitious tradition thing that women do, I guess.
Throw the shoe, huh? Okay.
Yep, throw the shoe. All right, in Denmark, literally, they dance around the Christmas tree. They hold hands as a family while they sing Christmas songs. So like in The Grinch, when they sing Fahu Dores, that is a Denmark tradition.
Heathens. You know what? They'd be worshiping false idols with that. No, I'm joking. No, that sounds interesting. Now, I've seen stuff like that. I don't know if it's the Christmas thing, but I've seen them do the trees with the ribbon. Have you seen that where they like run around the tree with the ribbon singing song too? So
yep.
Maybe it's something like that too.
They also, the tree is typically adorned with real candles. And I don't know how that works, but apparently they put real candles. So another tradition they also do in Denmark is children will leave a bowl of, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's sweet porridge for the house elves outside. So kind of like how people leave out milk and cookies for Santa, they leave out sweet porridge. So
oh, okay, well that's cool. They leave it outside.
Yeah, they like. Or maybe just leave it out, like, again, kind of how they
cookies. Okay, because for me, and maybe this is just my practical mind, I'm like, that's how you attract ants and everything else. You leave, leave something like that outside. Go ahead.
Talking about some milk and cookies. Bernie Mac. So in Ethiopia, it says that 44% of Ethiopians are part of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. So a lot of them, like many Orthodox denominations, they celebrate Christmas in January. So they don't do Santa or exchange gifts. But again, it's more focused on like the Advent season. So they, for 43 days, they do a fast before Christmas. So they don't eat meat, fat, eggs, or dairy products. And so they celebrate Christmas Day, which is on January 7th. And then on that day, they dress in white to go to Mass in the morning. And then they play like a field hockey type game. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it says that that game originated after Ethiopian shepherds heard the news of Jesus's birth and in their jubilee began flinging things with their crooks. So that's, I think that's kind of a neat like tradition celebration type deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds fun. It's almost like, you know, having a football game after finding out about Jesus.
Yeah, cool. It's great. So so three more here. In France, so they do king's cake, and king's cake here is normally associated with Mardi Gras. But that came from France as a Christmas tradition. And so if you don't know what king cake is, it's a cake, and inside the cake is usually like a little baby Jesus. And then whoever gets the piece with the baby Jesus, I guess they're the winner of –
it's like you're lucky. It's basically, it's a superstition thing as well. It's like, if you get that, then you're the lucky one that got the,
you'll have luck. So a lot of it is like kind of Christmas, coupled with the pagan traditions, I think. So which Constantine made Christmas on December 25th to help celebrate the winter solstice to make Christmas more appealing to the pagans, which is an interesting fact. In Portugal, they usually have a meal which is called cansada. And so for those who are religious, the meal usually consists of salted cod and other other dishes, and that can usually take place either before or after the midnight mass. It marks the end of a fasting period before Christmas.
Okay.
Kind of like how they do Dia de los Muertos. Those that have passed away, they set up a candle and a light and all that stuff. And it's supposed to help comfort and warm the souls of those that have passed away. So kind of similar to Dia de los Muertos that is celebrated in Mexico. So they kind of do the same thing around Christmas time. Last one, in Syria, The camel is the star of Serious Christmas. So the camel takes the place of Santa in bringing gifts to well-behaved children, tracing back to the legend that camels carried the three wise men to Bethlehem to see baby Jesus, who then blessed the creatures with eternal life. So that's the superstition. To welcome him, children fill their shoes with hay and put out bowls of water on Christmas Eve. They also read the nativity story under candlelight, burn a bonfire of dried thorn branches with the belief that if the thorns disintegrate completely into ash, the incoming year will have good fortune. So they, in Syria, they kind of base it more on the camel instead of Santa Claus. So if the
thorns are still there after the fire, it's like, oh Lord, it's about to be a bad year.
Right. I think when you did this 2 years ago, you shared that in Japan, they eat KFC. On Christmas Day, they do eat KFC.
I think about that all the time too. It's like let's go get some fried chicken on Christmas.
Just kind of like we ate Chinese food on Christmas Day. They eat American food.
So. It's just right the opposite. It's just like, man, I don't know. It's like Western holidays. We go Eastern, they go Western.
Yeah, world goes around. We are the world. Ebony and ivory. Just kidding. Okay, are you ready to move
into the after that hole? I'm definitely ready to move on.
I felt like Carlton from Fresh Prince.
That's so bad.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? This is Christmas trivia. We're going to play a Christmas trivia game and see if you know the answer, okay?
Oh, Lord, yeah, let's try it.
Just take your best guess. This involves Christmas movies, Christmas carols, anything Christmas, okay?
All right.
All right, number one, which movie featured an actor who was only paid $414 for his role in the movie because he did the role as a personal favor to the director? Is it A, Joe Pesci in Home Alone, B, Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation, C, John Candy in Home Alone, or D, Jim Carrey in The Grinch?
It's actually John Candy in Home Alone. He did that small cameo. I did hear about that. He did that small cameo as a favor and just didn't want hardly anything for it. I mean, it is a very short part, but it is kind of funny.
They also said he ad-libbed all of his lines, so he didn't have a script or nothing. He just made them all up.
I mean, I wish John Candy didn't pass away. He was a really good actor.
Yes, he was. All right. How long did it take Charles Dickens to write A Christmas Carol?
Who?
Huh?
Who?
Oh my God, stop playing.
Go ahead.
Mississippi education. Okay, sorry. Anyway, how long did it take Charles Dickens to write A Christmas Carol? A, 4 weeks, B, 6 weeks, C, 8 weeks, or D, 10 weeks?
I'm going to go with 8 weeks because it's not a short deal. I mean,
it's actually 6 weeks.
6 weeks? Wow, he was writing fast. He must have been writing pretty fast because it's not a short book.
Yeah, crazy. All right. Which country did the Christmas-themed ballet The Nutcracker first premiere in? Which country? A, Russia, B, France, C, Italy, or D, England?
I'm going to say France.
It's actually Russia.
Russia. Okay. I mean, that does make sense.
Did they ever take you to go see that as a field trip at school, The Nutcracker?
No, but did go see it at the Opera House in Germany at one point. I didn't understand any of it because it was all in German, but you know, it was still fun. I do remember it.
That's really good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Which Christmas song was originally condemned by the Roman Catholic Church? Ooh.
Ooh.
A, Santa Baby, B, Jingle Bell Rock, C, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, or D, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
I'm going to say Santa Baby because that one's kind of an edgy one.
It's actually I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus because they said it promotes adulterous affairs.
Okay, my thing is it's like a lot of these songs be promoting some stuff. I mean, Santa Baby is very...
yep.
Yeah.
All right. Which Christmas item is used to help kids remember the birth of Jesus? Is it A, tinsel, B, popcorn strands, C, candy canes, or D, nutcrackers?
I'm going to say popcorn strands because I feel like I remember making those a lot.
It's actually candy canes.
Candy canes? Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you know what each part of the candy cane represents?
Yeah. No, I don't, actually.
So you could probably put two in to get what do you think the red represents?
Not sure.
So the red represents Jesus's blood. The white represents when like Jesus makes your heart like
pure
clean.
And clean.
And then the staff looks like a shepherd's staff, and then you turn around and it's a J.
Oh, I never knew this. Why did I
you
never
didn't know
do
that?
This? No.
Oh wow.
I never knew any of this.
Yeah,
is news to me, Christopher.
The guy who made the candy cane invented it as a way for kids to remember like Jesus. So
I did not know that. I just thought it was like, okay, peppermint, and it's I didn't know how the design, but hey, it makes sense.
All right.
Learn something new today.
There you go. All right, the celebrated Christmas truce temporarily halted fighting during what war? A, Civil War, B, World War I, C, World War II, or D, the French and Indian War?
It was the First World War, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
That's a wild story, man, because I couldn't imagine having to go back to fighting after that. For those of you who don't know, I'll make it brief. Pretty much, they called a truce, and it was kind of like a field day at school from what it sounded like. Basically, everybody got to the field of battle that they were doing. They, like, played soccer together. They, like, ate food together. And, like, a lot of the guys were talking about how just – you know, you'd been taught these were the enemy, but then, you know, you'd be talking about, you know, these are my kids, these are my kids, and like, you know, everybody's just human. And so I can only imagine how hard it must be then going back to like, okay, now we're shooting at each other kind of thing.
Yeah, that would have been really, really hard. Yeah, they had like you said, soccer and snowball fight. Like they had it was cool. Like it was kind of a cool moment in history.
Yeah, it was like a whole event. I mean, it was a really cool thing. I wonder, you know, how many stories out of that of like, okay, somebody could have maybe executed somebody or killed somebody or something bad could have happened and they didn't because they had met them during this experience or something like that. How many stories of kind of more, how do I put this, you know, humanity stories coming out of something like that because things, you know, because they were able to meet up like they did. I'm curious. I don't think we'll ever know, though.
Yep. All right, next question. What well-known Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcasted from space in 1965? A, Jingle Bells, B, Silent Night, C, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or D, Away in a Manger?
I'm gonna go with A.
It's Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells. I feel like that's the classic, like, banner song of Christmas. I don't know why. I feel like that's the whole thing.
All right. In what modern-day country was St. Nicholas born? A, Greece, B, Hungary, C, Romania, or D, Turkey?
Romania, right?
It was Turkey.
It was Turkey, huh? Okay.
Heck yeah. All right. Who was the first person to be credited with putting Christmas lights on a tree? A, Abraham Lincoln, B, Constantine, C, Martin Luther, or D, Joan of Arc?
Well, I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, didn't you? Didn't you say Constantine and had the candles in the tree?
No, I just said Constantine was the one who helped bridge the gap between pagans and all that. But it's Martin Luther, actually.
It was Martin Luther. Okay. Yeah. It makes sense. His story is pretty crazy, and I've heard like 8 versions of what actually happened with him. So
that's crazy. All right. Which U.S. president banned Christmas trees at the White House? A, FDR, B, Teddy Roosevelt, C, Herbert Hoover, or D, Howard Taft?
You know what? I'm going to take a total guess, and I'm going to say Hoover because I heard Hoover was kind of a jerk. So I'm going to guess Hoover.
It's actually Teddy Roosevelt because he was
really
an environmentalist.
Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, and he did all sorts of stuff. My thing is, you going to ban trees, but you the one that did the canal and how many trees you knocked down to make that Panama Canal? Come on. No.
Crazy. All right. Two more. The song Jingle Bells was originally written to celebrate what holiday? A, the 4th of July, B, Easter, C, Thanksgiving, or D, Halloween?
I didn't know it was anything other than Christmas. I think it's going to be 4th of July. What holiday would be associated with bells?
Thanksgiving. Maybe they just changed the name.
It's Thanksgiving?
Yep. That's what I said.
Really? Okay. Well, shoot. I guess, hey, that's fine with me. I'd be jingling bells too, knowing I'm getting my turkey here in a little bit.
I'm going to move right on past that. Okay. All right. Last one.
Come on, man. Low and slow over home plate.
What Christmas movie is regarded as one of the all-time worst movies ever made? Like, of all, not just Christmas movies, worst movies ever made. A, Scrooged. B, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. C, Krampus. Or D, Twas the Night Before Christmas, starring Clark Gable.
I'm going to go with B. Because that sounds terrible. Sounds terrible.
And I have watched that movie.
Yeah?
It's horrible. So, I don't know if my dad did this, like, knowing that the movie was bad. But I remember one year, like, do you remember at, like, Walmart? They still have them now. But, like, where you have, like, the $5 bin DVD.
Right, right. And you, back you then, dig you through the
like
bin.
Like a $1 or, like, a $3.
A $3.
Whatever.
Right, yeah.
And so he brought that movie home, and we watched it all together as a family. And, like, I know 1950 science fiction is bad, but, like, this movie, like, you're sitting here going, like, what are we watching? Like, are these people on an acid trip? Like,
was it, like, a fever dream? Like, was it a,
yes,
like a fever
like, it was horrible. And my dad was like, he was like, this movie is terrible. He was like, I'm so sorry I got this movie. He's like, it's bad. Like, and for my dad to say that, it was like, dude. And so – we would always joke, be like, do you want to watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians? We'd be like, no, it's really bad. You should look it up. I'm sure it's out there on YouTube. Worst movie ever.
So, and was there like any redeeming qualities? Like it was so bad, it was funny or anything like that? Or was
no,
it just straight bad?
We turned it off after like 20 minutes. We never finished the movie. Like it's that bad.
Is
like,
that
it,
bad?
You're sitting, like there's no redeeming qualities about it at all. Like, take all the 1950s movies, science fiction, again, it's cheesy, right? Like, those are cheesy. But, like, you're sitting here going, like, this is bad. Like,
bad.
Just really everything about this is bad. Like,
well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Just, that's a no-go if you're looking to do that. Or if you're just a glutton for punishment when it comes to movies, go for it, I guess.
I don't know. But speaking of that, it's time to move into What Fries My Donuts. And Micah, do you want to share what has got you fried up about this Christmas holiday season?
Yes. Yes, I will. I'll let everybody know what's going on this holiday. So my thing is, you might have heard me allude and say these things before. Used to be a Grinch. I'm saying I'm not anymore because, hey, I've actually set up a tree. And, you know, actually done some Christmas decorating and watched some Christmas movies, which has been vastly different from the last 15 years of my life there. So that's really interesting. I think to go back to how I was a Grinch, we have to go back to childhood. Now, we're not going all the way back to childhood. Now, so the problems fundamentally that I've had with Christmas is more, I would say, and I'm going to call us out. They are problems that are exclusive to the United States. I'll say that. And one is the obsessive obligation that this holiday brings. That really ticks me off. And for examples, everybody feels obligated to do gifts. And I've seen it to varying degrees, right? I've seen it to the point where it's like, we need to get Joe's cousin's second, third nephew a gift card because we're seeing them at this point. And I'm not saying don't see anybody. That's a whole different topic. And I'm going to talk about seeing people and what that experience is like too. But the biggest thing that I've noticed is there are so many, it's like people don't even necessarily have to give other people gifts, but it starts a chain reaction, right? It's like, okay, you get Joe's brother's whatever, a gift card, right? His son, a gift card. Now Joe feels obligated like, oh, well, I didn't get them anything, so I got to get them something. Now they go and get them something. And now what ends up happening is there's all this like, okay, I didn't get them for this. I didn't get them for that. And so everybody's doing this. Not to mention, let's be real. The economy is down. Times are a little tougher. And so everybody stretches themselves at Christmas. That's point number two. Everybody's all upset because the money's tight. Because, again, we had to get Joe's, Schmo's, so-and-so's, cousin's, daughter's, kid, something. And so it's like, since we had to get Joe something, his kid something, his wife something, and it's just like you have that times 30 family members or coworkers or whatever the case may be, you've now maxed out your credit cards. Congratulations. You've now maxed yourself out, and you're sitting here going, okay. And a lot of times it's like, it's in the back of people's mind, but they're like, we'll solve it in the new year. It's fine. Like, it's okay. But the problem is you start going through the holiday, and this is the third point. You get to be with family, and chances are family, at least one person is going to cause something. That's the thing that I can't stand about Christmas and being around family, is because somebody is going to say something, and it's either going to hurt or offend you or somebody else in the room. And then all of a sudden sides start forming. And then what ends up happening is now you got two camps, and then it's like there could be an eventual blow up and all this other crap. And it's just like, dude, not to mention the gift time comes up, right? We're going back to the gifts. Now we're with people and we're in this whole setting. We're sitting in front of everybody. They have now stretched themselves, maxed out their credit card to get you whatever this gift you're about to open is, right? And so you're now sitting there. The eyes of the world are upon you. The pictures are being taken. If you react anything other than on par, and what's hard is you have to get it into a balanced range, right? This is where it really just gets me, because you have to get it in a range. You can't be like, oh yeah, thanks, I appreciate it, because they're going to be like, oh well, he doesn't like it. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, internally they're going, well, why did I get this schmuck something? That's 40 bucks I could have saved, whatever, right? And then all of a sudden it's this whole thing. And now if you go too far, like, oh my god, I love it, this is great, people are going to be like, dude, if you don't like it, you could just say something, right? Like, you don't have to go all crazy to try to convince me and all this other stuff, right? So you have to hit it right on par of like, oh man, hey, thanks, I really appreciate it, which over the years gotten okay at, but really at first. So all that to say this, look at how much you're having to pay attention to and contend with, all for a holiday that's supposed to be about peace, relaxation, and celebrating the birth of Jesus. Like, that's what it's supposed to be about, but it tends to be stressful, full of obligation. And then not to mention, I didn't even mention if you're traveling. This is even if you're just in town. Like, I'm talking, these are the frustrations, even if you have family and events in town. Because if you're talking about flying with kids, whatever the case is, it just triples, quadruples, because the airport experience during holidays is 10 times worse. Nobody has their mind, including, shopping places as well. Last minute shopping, don't want to try that either, because nobody has any sense. Nobody has their minds. And again, they've maxed out their credit cards, so they're ready to swing. So it's like, it's one of those things of you gotta really be careful of what's going on. And so for me, and why I say that, I feel like that's really endemic to the United States. I don't know why this episode I brought up being in Germany so much, but here we are. I guess because there's such a difference in Christmas and how they celebrate it over there versus how they celebrate it over here. Over here, it's very gift centric. It's all about the gifts. It's all about what you're doing for other people, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's part of it is how it makes you feel good or whatever too. In German culture and how they celebrate in Germany, like, yes, there's gifts, but you get everybody like one gift, and it's small, and it's not really about the gift. It's like, here are your Christmas slippers that are made out of like sheep's wool, and it's like, that's a nice gift, keeps my feet warm when it's cold. But it's not anything that you're sitting here going like, you're not doing the whole Michael Scott at a gift event where it's like, oh my gosh, I got 400 bucks of an iPod and I'm trying to figure this out. You know, it's very simple. And the rest of it is spend time with your family. Every business is closed. You couldn't shop if you want to. Just relax. Just don't do anything. That's the whole point. And so I think we've got it all wrong when how we do a lot of things. And, but at the same time, we can also make the holiday whatever we want to make it. And so that's why I'm trying to make it what you want to make it and kind of be a little bit more restful and relaxing. I know that was long, but there's a lot that fires me up about Christmas.
This is what I want to say. I appreciate when people just bring like baked goods. Like if you just when they bring you like a base, like that's all you have to do for like you baked me things, you brought me pop whatever, like that's good. That's good enough for me. Like you don't have to go all out. Like
Yeah,
I
right.
enjoy and this is what I want to normalize. I want to normal like going back to the family thing. Like I want to normalize like and I've seen this in several Christmas movies, like Four Christmases or Christmas with the Cranks, where they're like, "Hey, we're just gonna go on vacation on Christmas Day. Like, we're gonna go on a cruise. We're gonna go on vacation." But like, no one can comprehend that. Like, everyone is upset. They're
Yeah, I
like,
don't
"You're being a
understand why.
Grinch. You're being bad." And like, literally in Christmas with the Cranks, they're like, "We're not gonna do Christmas this year." And they let everyone know, "Hey, like, do not feel obligated to get me a gift. I'm not gonna get you a gift because we're not celebrating Christmas because we're gonna go on a cruise instead." And every time that they say that, people just cannot understand. They're like, "You're
Lose
being a
their
Grinch," and
minds.
it's like, it's not that we're not celebrating Christmas. We're just celebrating Christmas, and we're going on a cruise. We're letting you know up front so that if you don't receive a gift from us, don't feel obligated to get us a gift because we're not getting you a gift. Like, I feel like that was the
Good.
mature thing to. The mature way to handle it, like.
I'll be real with you. Christmas with the Cranks, that movie just drives me up the wall. And it's not just because of like, okay, the daughter's coming in town abruptly and all the problems they're facing there. It's exactly what you're talking about. The neighbors have this expectation. It's like, well, every year you set up and have this set up. And it's very selfish of them because they tell the neighbors like, hey, we're gonna go on this cruise, like it's really nice, like our daughter's not gonna be in town. Why do we need to do the big to-do? And they're like, no, you need to do the big to-do for our kids and for our stuff. And it's just like, bro, if you want the big lights and the big setup, you can put that on your house. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those things. But again, you look at that movie and what did they end up doing? He ended up doing a lot of that stuff out of obligation because it was like he got harped on so many times to where it's like, okay, fine, I'll just put it up. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. You know what I mean? That's not what Christmas is supposed to be about at all.
To me, if I want to celebrate the birth of Jesus by going on vacation and having a good time, like with my wife and the people that I like hanging out with, like, okay, and I get it. I know family, that's the one time a year, like you get together and you don't normally see. But here's what I learned, and I think we just need to, and this isn't the positive advice, but I think we need to be okay. Like your immediate family, okay, that's a different situation, right? Like, yes, maybe you should be more intentional about it. And there are some situations, I'm not going to go into them, where you have to cut your immediate family off. But for like aunts, uncles, like all cousins, boy, cut them people off, bro. If you don't see them all year. Now,
Well,
it's one thing if y'all are like a normal family, y'all do see each other. But that one cousin Jimmy that you only see once at Christmas. Cut
or
that
that
fool
I,
off.
or I haven't seen him in like 8 years, and it's just like, why don't you ever come and see me? It's like, why don't you ever come and see me?
Yeah, and
It's
it's like,
like.
oh, you need to be around for it. I ain't seen that fool in 6 years. Cut that fool off. That's what my deal is. Family is like, he's your family. Family is more than blood. I'll tell you that right now. Like, the older I get, choose your family. Like, you get to choose your family.
It saves so many headaches. It really does. Because my thing is, and what Chris was talking about normalizing this stuff, my thing is, if I had all the money in the world and and things like that, it's like I would get all the people that I consider family. We just get like a big old Airbnb house or something like that, right? Everybody has their own room, but we all just hang out for Christmas. Like that sounds like a good plan. We don't necessarily have to have it at somebody's house, and it doesn't have to be like a load of gifts. Like, what if it's just a trip to the mountains? Like, what if it's an experience instead of a gift? Like, why is that not a
I'll be
appropriate?
honest, I can't tell you what I got for Christmas 5 years ago, but I can remember Thanksgiving last year when we hung out with y'all. Like you experiences. I feel like you should do, like, I remember
before Christmas, me and my wife went to this Harry Potter whatever thing in Dallas, and it was like, I remember that. So it's like, yeah, but anyways, we can talk a long time about that.
Yeah, we could go all day about, you know, Christmas and, you know, some of the things, but, you know, it is a wonderful time of year, and I'll tell you this much, I'm really excited for our next segment, because I know Chris is too. I see the look on his face, because it's our improv segment, and I'm going to say this, it was it might have been a little pre-chosen, but it's okay, because it's our Christmas episode, and one of our favorite things to do, Chris and I, Chris is a man of the cloth currently, and, you know, I had aspirations to be something like that at some point. So the thing is, if you watched our previous episode when it talked about Siblings of God and things like that, listen, man, we know how to kind of preach like that, but on the realm of, let's just say this, I think if we want to start a church, like I really would want to start an African-American style church. I love the way that they be doing things. And I tell you what, our preacher voice be coming out, it does have that little bit of twang to it. I will say that.
Yep. I'm excited. So we're going to do two pastors at Christmas Eve services. Easy softball. Are you ready?
Easy softball. All right.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
I will start. All right. We're gathered here today to celebrate the Savior, whose name is Jesus, who was born over 2,000 years in a manger. He was born in a manger so he could die on a cross. And we're here today because it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the presents. It's not about the Easter Bunny, even though Easter's 6 months away. It's about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah.
I'm seeing a lot of you faces in here today that I hadn't seen from last Easter, come to think of it. So I just want to reach out to you and ask, where's the tithes been? Where's the visitation been? Where has things been in these few months since we seen you? I just want to ask you a question. Is it something we did wrong? Are you finally ready to accept the fact that Jesus has a plan for your life? And the next thing that I want out of your mouth is to say, Jesus has come to save me at this church at this time, and I'm going to come back for more than just Easter, because we need the tithes at this church. Oh, come on, somebody.
Let me tell y'all, and y'all better not say amen, because I know I'm about to make a few folks angry. Some of y'all in here, you treat Jesus like an Amazon Prime membership. You like the 7-day free trial. But as soon as it costs you something, you want to hit cancel on the whole relationship. But you need to subscribe. You need to pay that premium, because Jesus paid the premium price when he came down here in a manger. He didn't cancel his account. He didn't cancel his relationship. He didn't cancel the destination. But some of y'all, you put more on your Christmas list and you believe in Santa more than in your relationship with God. So you can sing the songs to every Taylor Swift song. You can sing the songs to every Metro Boomin song. But when it comes to the Oh Holy Night, you become like a mom and you get silent on this piece.
Oh, and the thing is, if we looked at your Netflix, if we looked at your Hulu, if we looked at your Amazon Video, and we saw the login timestamps, we would see that it was yesterday, it was today, and you'd be binge watching. You'd be watching The Dexter, and you'd be watching all the shows that got the drugs and the violence. But the thing that you ain't doing, if we were to check to see when you cracked the Bible open, you would have a timestamp that was 6 months old. I would tell you this right now, the Lord is telling me that you need to get rid of the subscriptions in the new year. The subscription you need to take is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't take his subscription, well, your time might be running out. Your trial might be running out. And you ain't going to be able to update the card information to get that back. I'll tell you this much right now. Ooh, I feel it right now. Ooh.
Oh, let me tell you, some of you are so worried about the hustle and the bustle of daily life. You're going out on the highways and the byways, and you got things on your list. You got to get the Christmas gifts. You got to do the Christmas party. You got to do the Christmas ugly sweater contest. best. But instead of that list, there's one list called the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name on it today? I said, is your name on the Lamb's Book of Life? Because there was a baby who came down over 2,000 years ago. They said his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. God with us here, Everlasting Father. See, some of the things that you have that are lasting, they're going to burn up. That Netflix account, that job, that 401k. So go ahead and write a check to the ministry, because we know that you can't take it with you when you go.
One of the last things I got to say, the Lord was laying in that manger, and some of y'all would rather be in the inn, away from Jesus, away from everything that needs to be, because you want to be comfortable, and you want to have it your way, like BK. But you ain't a king, you ain't the man, you ain't the woman, and the thing is, you gotta give it all to him. Just like you got to give it to MC Ministries. That's what I'm about to say. Because the Lord is telling me right now that instead of getting that Mercedes Benz and putting that red ribbon on there and saying, honey, this is yours, you could be giving that check. And Lord, I'll pay the $1,000 for the big check, for the picture. And I'll have it personally assigned to me. And we'll have that picture out there. And if you want to have that happen, then I feel like somebody in this audience wants to have that happen. The 50 grand check can happen. And I believe that this Christmas. And he's all about the miracles. And I believe in miracles in this situation. You know what, brother? I think it's time to pray.
Yep, it's time to pray. Lord, we thank you for coming down from heaven to come down here on earth. We pray for sisters and brothers who don't have joy. They got anger. They got gossip in their hearts. But Lord, we thank you that you are the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. So God, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't put us on the naughty list, that you put us on the saved list. And Lord, you don't have to check it twice because you already know, Jesus. So I pray that some of these people will put their name not on a Christmas list, but on the list of the Lamb's Book of Life.
And God, I thank you that we don't have to worship a fat man with a beard, that we can worship you, the only man with the beard, the carpenter. And you could put our name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, Lord, I'm stuck on that. I'll tell you this. Life has been good this year. But I tell you this much. I ask that the life in 2025 be even better for these people, especially whoever decides to give the big check to the ministry. Their life is going to accelerate, and it is going to grow. Exponential growth. I believe in the number 7. 7 times. It ain't just in the casino 777. It's in the Bible too. And I'll tell you this much. I see 7-fold coming for whoever wants it. In Jesus' name, I'll tell you this. Last thing, and last but not least, I think and I know that there are saints in this house tonight that want more than 50K. You know what? We ask it for that million. You know what? No. We ask it for the jet, Lord. We ask it for the jet. Because I believe that somebody is going to give us that jet. You know what? I think that's good enough. You want to say it? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, right. I love how you added the jet on there. If you guys don't know, there is a one of these famous televangelists who asked for a jet, and when he was like, well, how are you going to pay for it? He said, the Lord told me, Jesse, you ain't got to worry about how you're going to pay for it. You just got to believe me for it. I said, oh, okay.
And another thing too is we actually saw him in person, this like televangelist guy. We didn't know he was going to do all the jet business later on that he went viral for, but yeah, we ended up seeing him at one point. But anyways, yeah, I love doing the preacher voice. Like Chris and I, just a little tidbit. So I got a little microphone for my wedding because I didn't think that the venue was going to provide one, and it's got like a speaker built in, and you can do Bluetooth with it. But we would do preacher chords behind it, and we'll give each other topics and we'll just preach about whatever. And we'll just go into, and it always ends up being really good. I'm just going to shout out Chris. There was one time we went into, I'd be giving Chris Harwood. I was like, you got to preach about dog food, like somehow equate it. I just remember he was like, he's like, some of y'all be smelling like you be eating the Alpo. and a kibble and bits. And it's just, yep. What is wrong
I'm
with
telling
you?
Telling you, you can take it's, anything and you can turn yeah, it into a sermon.
You can.
It's like a. I do use it sometimes, like in real life, though. Like, I don't just play. Like, it's a fun, like, little challenge. It's like, how can you use this and turn it into a sermon? So, yeah. But anyways, I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. Maybe you did. Maybe you skipped past it. But we're gonna
maybe you're just like, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. Anyway,
we're gonna move into our last segment, which is our eclair, and that's our positive advice. And I'll go first. I think you went first the last time. I'm not sure, but
we'll go with that.
I know that the holidays sometimes for people is not a joyous time. And so for some people, it's a lot of firsts, right? Like sometimes it's the first Christmas without a loved one, or maybe it's the first Christmas going through a divorce. Maybe it's the first Christmas without a job. Whatever it is, maybe Christmas is a dark season for you. And I just want to remind you, like, I don't want to be a cliche and be like the reason for the season, but right, we just, and again, we joked in the improv segment, but what a lot of what we said was true, minus the money part, that Jesus did come down here to be the light of the world. And so there is hope. And so if you are struggling or going through a tough time this season, like, it's okay. You don't have to feel like you have to be joyous, and it's okay. Because the Bible says that God sees every tear that you cry. And so no one is expecting, maybe they are expecting, I don't know, but like, just be okay with, if it's not a joyous time for you, don't feel like you have to be fake or perform or put on. And if you're struggling, I know this season, because it's coming into winter, it can be depressing and lonely. Reach out to someone, please, and share it with them. Because I don't know, man, I feel this, like, I don't know why, but someone is wondering, like, maybe this is the last Christmas that I'll spend alive. Like, I don't know why, but I feel like there's someone that's struggling with, maybe I shouldn't even be here anymore. And I want to tell you, like, that's not true. Like, you are needed. And I would rather you share your Christmas heartaches and all that, like, with somebody, because there are people who love you. There's someone that loves you. If anybody loves you, it's Jesus, right? Like, there are people that love you. And a lot of times we think no one cares. But there are people that care. So if you are struggling and you think, man, maybe I shouldn't be here anymore, that's not true. Like, you were made for a reason, for a purpose. I don't know why I feel so strongly about that. I don't know who's listening to this, but like, I just had that sense, like, someone's thinking, man, like, this is going to be my last Christmas, and then I'm just going to end it all. Not to be dark, but like, dude, like, yeah, I feel that, because Christmas is a hard time, but you're important. Yeah. You matter to God, you matter to the people that are around you, and maybe they don't vocalize that, but there are people that love you, and so ending your life is not worth it. Okay, so I don't know why I went on that tangent. I just felt that, like, I felt that in my spirit.
No, I get you. And you know, breakthroughs are possible. Like, the thing is, a lot of times if you're feeling that low, what I've noticed is, because we've all been there, people don't want to admit it, but we've all been there, to where it's like, man, maybe this is it. Maybe I should call it quits. Maybe there's certain situations that are like, I can't ever get out of this. You know, it's, there are ways to absolutely get out of it. And a lot of the times you have to hit this point in order to come up from that. And a lot of time the ascent is very rapid, to where it's, you know, I don't know why I want to say this too, but what I've noticed is sometimes the difference just a day will make. Sometimes it's just 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It's literally just one day it's bad, the next day there is a brighter outlook. And so the thing is, whatever problems you're facing, you absolutely got it. And if you don't have anybody, like Chris said, you always got somebody in Jesus. And then we're always here at the Donut Box Podcast.
Put it in the comments.
We've got plenty of content to where if you need family members to talk to around the Christmas table, you can always put us on and have a conversation with us. We won't judge. All right. So for my eclair, it's a lot of the same. What I'm trying to find this holiday season. So one of my favorite actors is Jim Carrey. Like, I really, really like Jim Carrey. And I think Chris will say this too. I think what's interesting, I don't put a lot of stock into the whole, like, okay, we're the same zodiac sign or whatever. But Jim Carrey's birthday and mine are pretty close. And I think that's why, like, when I was a kid, I wouldn't say I had Jim Carrey-esque qualities, but I definitely tried to emulate the guy quite a bit. And so a lot of the humor was the same. But I wouldn't say that I've lost it along the way. I know that I've definitely gotten more mature and things like that, but I'm also trying to find the funner, lighter side of life. Like, I think I've swung to the too serious point where it's like, okay, I used to have a lot more fun even in regular, normal conversations. Like, even the conversations I've had with Chris, don't get me wrong, we laugh and have a good time, but I'm not nearly as goofy or saying some of the outlandish, and I'm not trying to get back to that point. But what I'm saying is, I think there's room to have more fun in life. And so my positive advice this week is, it's okay to have fun in life. Yeah, there are times to be serious and there are times to be whatever, but that's not who I am. And so that's also not who you are, to be serious and uptight all of a sudden. What's really funny, and by me saying this, I just thought about this. Chris, whenever I first met him, he was incredibly uptight, and that's what he would say, is just like, I didn't have any fun, but having the friendship with me, started having fun. And what's interesting to me is I look at Chris, and a lot of times he's not as uptight as I am, and he's having more good. And so it's almost like, you know, it's almost kind of getting back to that, but something I'm working on too. And just for everybody out there, it's okay to have fun. And try to have a little bit more of the Jim Carrey, because watching the Jim Carrey Grinch is just like, yeah, I remember being that goofy. I remember that.
And if you're having a hard time, get you a friend who will make you have fun. Like, that's important too. Get people that will make you have, or be like, hey, bro, we're going to go have fun. Even if you're that'll be, even if you're like, I don't even know how to have fun. What do I do? Get a friend, get someone. You can rent us. Our hourly rate is $1,600 for the day, a piece.
Yeah, if you want to fly us out, that'll work too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wouldn't even have to pay for Micah's flight, probably. He'd just do it for, well, you might
Let's pay for my flight. We're not, listen, let's not under negotiate already. Let's pay for my
our
flight.
We need to contact your people. Well, speaking of which, if you are listening on Spotify, go check us out on YouTube at the Donut Box. That's DOUGHNUT Box Podcast on YouTube. You'll see our faces. Check us out.
Also, I'm not sure if you know this too, Chris, but it also works if you still put in at the Trash Can Network, it'll still pull up the new Donut Box Podcast channel. So it's like you could either do the Donut Box Pod or however you want to type that in. And like Chris said, it's DOUGHNUT Box Podcast. It's like, I don't know what else you're going to find over there. There's like four of the people that tried to start a donut box with a DONUT, but they all failed. Anyways, I'm just kidding. Good luck to all of them. But go ahead and go find us over there. Like I said, Trash Can Network, or if you want to look at it, Donut Box Pod, go ahead and subscribe to us over there. We're growing pretty fast. And then over on the Aviator side, it is Trash Can Travel, which is going really well. That thing is growing pretty fast too. And something that's going to be interesting, when I get a little bit more time, then we might have something in the works where you'll see my face over on that side too. And we'll be talking about aviation. So little precursor there. So if you're interested in that, keep an eye out for that. But of course, Facebook and Instagram, all that good jazz, Trash Can Network. Keep an eye out for us. And so, yeah, that's pretty much all I got, man.
Well, the Starship isn't going to take us out because it's not Christmas, but Wham is. We're going to have an 80s Christmas take us out. So with that, I'm signing off. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.